The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
First and goal. Wheaton rolling, throwing. Hop or Dalen Strong diving for the end zone. And a touchdown. Hasselbeck throwing, coming across. That's complete. Incomplete. Ball fell loose. Picked up. Picked up by the Texans. Kareem Jackson. Hasselbeck going to go deep. And that is caught by the Texans. Intercepted by A.J. Boye.
So after the game, you got a little teary-eyed talking to your players.
No, I didn't. There were no tears.
Yeah, yeah. We saw it. We saw it. So what got you emotional? What about got you emotional that game in particular?
No, I think these guys put in a lot of time. They put in a lot of effort. We demand a lot of these guys. We practice hard. We meet a lot. I just don't think it's easy. And I think when you go into a situation like that where there was a lot of adversity for our football team and turnovers, another injured quarterback, I just give our guys a lot of credit. And it means a lot. It means a lot to the coaching staff and to those guys in that locker room. There's nothing better than a winning locker room in the NFL.
Rock and roll. Let's get ready to print those AFC South Division Champion T-shirts. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Lee Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. We got a lot to talk about, especially that incredibly well-played game yesterday between the Texans and the Colts, where you saw great football, you saw incredible plays, you saw the Texans win. That's about it.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. What's up with you?
The same, my friend, the same.
Let's just make this rule now. No one's allowed to wear a Texans division championship shirt or hat, are they?
I have one from a couple years ago, because you remember the Texans brought them to us and I used it to work out in?
Yeah.
So when they win again this year and they bring us another one, I'm wearing it.
But that was a year when they won. It was different. You know, they actually won the division. They weren't the best loser. I mean,
hey, they could still be 9-7. That's not a loser.
Fred, yes, it is. You've seen this team play. I mean, listen, first of all, congrats to the Texans. That's a good win. They broke the streak, which I thought would never be broken. And that part of it is a cool thing. That was the most difficult game to watch, maybe, of all the games we've watched this season.
Yeah, involving the Texans. There have been some other games.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I just mean as far as Texans games.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Because, you know, there's games like there's games where the Texans have played worse than they did yesterday. There's games where the team that the Texans played worse. That was the first time that both teams played at, like, really, really poor levels. And it just made for a difficult game to watch.
Yeah, it was, and I was saying this last week, I thought the Texans would go in there and win because this Colts team right now is playing as badly as any team in the NFL. I think you can put an exacta box in there with them and the 49ers and probably the Cowboys and the Titans, and you've got the worst teams in football right now. And the only way the Texans were going to lose that game was turn the ball over. Well,
which they did twice to start. I mean, ugh.
And the T.J. Yates pick was just awful, and I know he's T.J. Yates, but to just lock in on DeAndre Hopkins.
And then underthrow him by 7 yards.
Yeah, it's just that's one of those where man, just get points there, because then they spent the entire first half on their side of the field.
Yep.
And the defense actually played really well, but again, this is a bad offense. It's been turning the ball over a lot, the Colts.
Well, and they also, the Texans were also put in some bad situations, like when they tried to kick a 57-yard field goal. That they had, I mean,
Can we talk about that? Field position
should have been reversed right there.
At that point, you spent the entire first half on your side of the field,
yeah,
pinned. That was just dumb. I mean, there's no other way to describe that. Well, stupid. You could say it was stupid, okay, or it was dumb. But I don't know what the bleep Bill O'Brien was thinking there. There's no way the guy could kick it from 57 back when he was young. He can't kick the ball that far. It was a panic move. It was a dumb move, and you gave him great field position, which you've been doing the whole first half, and that was just a product of not being able to move the ball and being pinned back inside your 10. I get that. So flip it right there. Your defense is playing well. Pin the guys back. Get better field position. Go down and get points. And if you do that, you're right back in the game because, frankly, they did everything they could to lose that football game in the first half, and they just tacked it on with that. I mean, that was just dumb. And I don't know what the hell Bill O'Brien's thinking, and I don't know if anybody's asked him what the hell he was thinking. Oh, well, maybe he made one in pregame warmups from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those extra three steps might have helped too.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, that is, and I'm not second-guessing this because the people who were watching the game with me, I was basically saying, what the
you I mean, know there's what no, are there's you no thinking? Explanation for
I mean,
it.
This is just dumb. And they overcame that, and they won the football game, and I think if they play that team 10 times, they're going to beat that team 8 times right now because – this Colts team is just very, very bad. It's a mess. They're poorly coached. You mentioned this before the show. I mean, Clipboard Jesus looked like he had no clue what he was doing out there when he came in for a couple plays.
Yeah, I mean, the fall off there is pretty great, and they were lucky that Hasselbeck was able to get back out there. But you could tell.
But he wasn't right.
He's not even. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck now is not going to be Matt Hasselbeck from, you know, 10 years ago. But you could tell right now he's just not.
He's beat up. He's 40 years old. Right. He's taken a beating. Oh, I mean, he was fine for those 4 games where he was healthy. And then you start getting beat up at that age. It's hard to get back out there. And maybe I'm a horrible person for saying this, but you know what I would have done early in that game? I would have taken a penalty. I would have sent John Simon or one of these other useless guys who do absolutely nothing on the field and hit him 3 steps after he let go of the ball really hard one time. Just to let him know, you know what, if you're not 100%, you might not want to be out here.
The problem with that is, then if the Colts reply in turn, you've got a punter playing quarterback.
Yeah, but that was before Yates got hurt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was before. I would have done
okay, well, even then.
First series.
That means you've got T.J. Yates out. You've got Brandon Whedon playing quarterback. That's not good either.
I would take my chances with Shane Leckler against Clipboard Jesus. I really would. But no, it was not a pretty game, but if you're a fan, you should be happy because they're going to win the division.
Looks that way.
They're going to go in and beat the Titans next week. The Colts are going to lose to the Dolphins, and the last game is going to be meaningless. So I think you could start printing those T-shirts.
You going to wear one?
Oh, yeah, just to piss you off, I'm going to wear it. Yeah. I'm going to wear it here and wear it proudly.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, I guess a win is a win.
So, hey,
what? A championship is a championship, and they'll raise that banner to the rafters. But, man.
And, you know, we could start speculating on playoff matchups and stuff. The way it's looking, they're going to get stuck with the Steelers or the Chiefs, which that's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I could see happening in their favor, if somehow the Jets got in, that's a team you've already beaten. You might, you know, you could probably, I think you could beat them again. It depends on who's playing quarterback,
yeah, I was gonna
though.
Say,
I mean,
you're
we don't
not
have
nearly,
any idea.
You're not as healthy as you were then.
And as much as I bagged on him for some of the stupid decisions and some of those penalties yesterday, what the hell? I mean, they were just dumb plays, but they managed to win the game. I want to say a couple of good things about this coaching staff. Somehow, they get these trash heap quarterbacks that were sitting on their couch a few months ago, like T.J. Yates, who wasn't even in the league.
Right.
Brandon Whedon was buried. I mean, Dallas didn't even want him as a backup. And somehow they get those guys to go out there and look like they know what they're doing. They don't play great necessarily. Yet Yates had the terrible turnover. Whedon was very, very lucky on the strip fumble that Derek Newton actually was out of position and able to jump on it.
Yeah.
Which, that's football 101. You don't hold the ball down by your waist when you're in the pocket. I don't know. But that's Brandon Whedon. So that didn't hurt him. But for the most part, the guy made some plays. He ran the offense well. They kept it simple for him. And I thought they did a good job having that guy ready, and it wound up helping him win the football game.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think they did a good job with, and I know you think Alfred Blue is garbage. The guy's been hurt, apparently. I've been told by a couple people that's the reason he didn't play last week. He was hurt. He's been getting beat up a lot, which is not a good sign. But if you go and look, every time he carries the ball 18 or 20 times, he gets 100 yards. If you keep giving him the ball, he gets 100 yards.
Okay. Well, here's where I'll give Alfred Blue credit. He had a good play yesterday. And
he also fumbled the ball, which, that was borderline, though. It's one of those, if they hadn't called it a fumble, you weren't going to overturn it either. I mean, it was impossible to tell whether his knee was done.
Well, they confirmed it.
No, they did not. Mike Carey confirmed it. The guys on the field said it stands.
It stands? Okay.
Yeah. No, Mike Carey's like, oh, it's confirmed. It's confirmed. He's an idiot. You couldn't tell.
It looked like a fumble to me, but again, I keep seeing the same thing out of Alfred Blue. I see 2-3 yards in a row, and then he had the 41-yard run yesterday that it did put him over 100 yards. If it wasn't for that, he's 19 carries for 60 yards again, and I'm sitting here saying the same thing I say every week. Why are they giving him the ball, and why is Akeem Hunt only touching it 5 times?
And I agree that Akeem Hunt should get the ball more. Chris Polk shouldn't be on the field. I don't know what
I'm with you.
Why they keep going to him. But the one thing that Alfred Blue does give them is a bigger guy that can get some extra yardage and when he's healthy. And I think yesterday we saw him healthy. Now, had they run that play to Akeem Hunt, it's a touchdown because of his speed. But that's not what Alfred Blue is. But the guy is not garbage. And if if he's healthy and they use him right like they did yesterday, then sure, you can take away the 41-yard run if you want, but
You can't take it away. I mean, he got it. Yeah. All I'm saying is if he hadn't had that, it would have been another Alfred Blue day.
But he did have it, though. That's the thing. I'm never big on, if you take away this 80-yard touchdown pass, he only threw for 210 yards. I mean, he did it, so you can't really take it away. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll take some phone calls next segment if you want to get in. You know the number. Kind of curious what Cowboy fan thinks of seeing Brandon Weeden go out there and win a football game. The one thing that I will say about him, he's got a nice arm, and he does zip that ball.
Weeden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't always know where it's going.
He's just not smart. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And he's not good, but Lamont says it's not hard to understand these quarterbacks perform well because they don't know the playbook yet.
Exactly.
That's probably part of it.
Once you figure out all the stupid plays they want you to run, it goes downhill.
You mean I have to think?
Just get out there and chuck it around. You'll be all right for now.
Yeah, but it's a good win, but I do hope people realize that. Yeah, you know, and one other thing I'll add, and then we'll go to break, and we'll take your phone calls when we come back. Whatever they have to do to get Brian Hoyer thinking straight by next week, they need to do. They need to fake the test or something.
I don't even know if it'll matter next week.
It may not. I mean, with Mariota out now.
Yeah, Mariota being out, the Titans they're not even remotely scary anymore.
No, and they want to lose. They want a better pick.
Yeah. But Mariota, you talk about, the importance of one guy to the offense. The difference in that Titans team when he's out there and when he's not, it's pretty huge. I'm not ready to say the guy's like a great quarterback yet. But he's the only thing that gives them a chance in hell of winning, at least on the offensive side. Their defense, they've got some solid pieces. But on the offensive side, they're a mess without that guy. And I assume next Sunday, they'll be a mess without that guy.
Yeah, and I'm assuming they're in full-on dump mode at this point, which they should be because there's nothing left to play for. All right, guys, let me tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies and HoustonCarsForKids.com. If a kid drops out of school and doesn't know what to do, Houston Can Academies helps them. They give them a second chance. They help these kids get their degrees. And a lot of them drop out for various reasons. Some of them have family issues. Some of them had to get a job to support their family. Well, Houston Can Academy works around their schedule, gives them a second chance, and a lot of them are graduating, and a lot of them are changing our community and becoming great people and going out and doing great things beyond school. And that's all because of Houston Can Academies. And you can help. Houston Can Academies help these kids by providing them everything they need. If they need glasses, if they need food, transportation, they do it. And the way they do that is by getting a donation of your vehicle. Anything that you're not using, they'll take it. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, they'll come and tow it for you free of charge, and your donation is tax deductible. They'll even fill out the paperwork. So all you have to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, come get this thing. And then they're going to use that to help these kids, and you're doing a great thing just by getting rid of something you don't use anymore. And if you donate today, you'll receive a $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. Just tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Give them a call, Houston Can Academy, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Brian Hoyer is still in the concussion protocol, so he's continuing to be evaluated by independent doctors. T.J. Yates did tear his ACL, unfortunately. And he'll be out, obviously, for the remainder of the season. Cecil Shorts is, I would say right now, I'd put him in the day-to-day category. See how that goes as the week moves on. We signed B.J. Daniels. He's a guy that can do a lot of different things. We've known about him for a long time, from his days in college and when he was in Seattle. He can play quarterback. He can play wide receiver. He can do a lot of different things. And so we signed him today. And T.J. Yates will go on injured reserve, so B.J. would take that spot, basically.
And we are back on the Blitz. Well, B.J. Daniels will solve everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, he's a really, really accomplished quarterback.
Yeah. Known about him for a long time, though.
Yeah.
Two Winty says, wow, Fred Fowler and Houston already crowning themselves as division champs and at Colts, hashtag Colts Nation. Are you kidding me? For one thing, there's a little sarcasm in what I'm saying.
First of all, who cares who wins this division?
Exactly.
And if you're a Colts fan or Jag fan trying to puff out your chest, be dumb.
You should be embarrassed by that tweet, sir. You really should, or ma'am, whichever. You sit there and watch that team that you saw yesterday and that you've seen the last 3 weeks and act indignant.
Colts Nation, bro.
Wow. Look, I think the Texans could go and lose the Titans and the Jags, and you know what?
They'd probably still win the division.
They probably still would at this point. Because I know Miami's terrible. Dolphins terrible, okay? Do you really think the Colts have any shot to go into Miami and beat that team after what you've seen out of them the last 3 weeks?
I don't think so.
And you know what I think about the Dolphins. They're a slightly better garbage heap than the Colts are right now.
Yeah.
Boy, can I get the shame bell for that, John, please?
Shame.
Thank you. All right, let's grab some phone calls. Mark, you get to lead it off. What is up, sir?
Yeah, I'm curious to know what kind of chance you get the Texans to get out of the first round.
Well, let's, you know what,
I'll just say this. If they're playing the Chiefs or the Steelers, I give them about a 15% chance.
I would say I give about a 10% chance against the Steelers, a 12% chance against the Chiefs.
Okay. And even if they play the Jets, I give them less than 50%.
I think they can beat the Jets. It just depends on who the quarterback is. There's no way. If Brian Hoyer's healthy and playing well.
If Brian Hoyer's there, I'll give them a chance. If he's not, the Jets are good. I mean,
I would say the teams that I could look at and say, you know what? They could beat these teams. I think they can beat the Jets because they already have. I think they can beat the Bengals because they already have. And I think they could beat the Broncos because I think the Broncos are fading fast. I don't think they necessarily would, but I think they could. I don't think they have any chance against the Steelers. They certainly have no chance against the Patriots. And I don't think they have a chance against the Chiefs either.
No.
So, and when I say I think they'd have a chance against those teams, I still think they're going to be dogs to any of them. And if any of those teams play anywhere close to their best game, they win. Let's try Brandon. What's up, Brandon? Hello, Brandon.
Sports. Okay, can I start off by saying how much I hate these tight ends on the Texans? I can't stand either one of these pathetic fellas. My second thing is more of a question and kind of how you guys feel about the draft selections for next year. Okay, we need a quarterback. There's probably not one in there. We're going to need a running back. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
The Texans need a lot of things in the draft. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to depend on where they're drafting, what they decide to do with those picks. But, yeah, obviously a quarterback is going to be a priority. A running back is going to be a priority. I really do think tight ends are going to have to be a priority at some point. I think offensive line is a priority. They have a lot of needs is what it boils down to.
They do, but, guys, it's almost impossible to speculate on what they're going to do in the draft right now when we don't even know where they're going to pick. I think it's fair to bring up the quarterback question and what you do there, but realistically, where they're going to be picking, it's just going to be another long-term project type guy. And I do think that that is the biggest question of the offseason. They've got to solidify this position. And we've said this before, Brian Hoyer is not the problem, but Brian Hoyer can't stay healthy. He never has been able to stay healthy. So, yeah, I think that you're probably looking at a reclamation project, which I'm probably okay with at this point. I'd rather have something like that because if you do, you know, hey, look, they've already shown they can bring in quarterbacks and have them play at a better level than they have under other coaches.
Yeah.
So whether it's RG3 or Kaepernick, none of those guys excite me, but I'd rather you do something like that because if you can turn that guy around, he's already been there. He's already played in the league. You don't have to wait 2 years to get him going.
Yep.
I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft.
Although, God, Kaepernick, that's just...
That would...
Don't wish that evil.
So here's and here's where you guys, again, and some of you texters, no, the Dolphins aren't. The Colts have 6 wins. The Dolphins have only 5. Have you watched how the Colts are playing lately? And by the way, some of those wins, they had some guy called Andrew Luck quarterbacking. When they won 4 in a row, Hasselbeck was healthy and playing well. It's not the same team. My goodness. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports.
Hey,
team.
So let's say if the Packers go into Arizona this coming weekend, and they beat them and they get the first round bye, what chance do you get the Packers without a healthy Tyrann Mathieu out for the year? What chances do you give the Packers going deep into playoffs?
I mean, listen, the Packers are a team that I won't be surprised if they go deep in the playoffs no matter what. I mean, they've got the best quarterback in the world when he's playing right.
Which he really isn't right now. But,
yeah. It's a good team. But so, I mean, if I had to put odds on it, what did they go deep in the playoffs? I guess you assume, if you say deep, I'm assuming you mean to like the NFC Championship game?
I'm guessing, yeah.
I mean,
I would say NFC Championship game.
I'd say it's they probably got a 50% shot at being there.
I think it depends on how everything falls. I mean, yeah. Because I don't think they want to see the Seahawks right now.
Yeah.
And so much of that is going to be matchups. Hey, as great as the Panthers have been, I don't think they want to see the Seahawks.
Listen,
at any point.
Seahawks, Cardinals, Panthers, Packers are the only teams that I can picture even being there. And so I'll give each one of them a 50% chance of being in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the group right there.
And I can't say with any kind of certainty that one of them is better than the other. Like, you can go down the line, and, I mean, you can flip a coin with a lot of those teams. And, you know, who's playing the best right now? Probably Seattle. I mean, Carolina's undefeated throughout the season. They've survived some close calls, but they're undefeated. Green Bay's not playing at their best, but they've got Aaron Rodgers. Arizona's been great, but Carson Palmer's finger looks like Frankenstein's, and now they lose Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, all these teams have flaws, but it's pretty clear that that's the 4 teams to beat in the NFC.
And I'm very concerned about Tyrann Mathieu being out now because that was a playmaker on that defense.
And they were already short in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they've been starting DJ Swearinger lets you know how short they are in the secondary.
And that tells you that, frankly, so much can change here over the next couple of weeks. And if Russell Wilson blows a knee, I think you can say forget the Seahawks.
Of course.
I mean, there's so much that can happen here. But I think the Packers they're one of those 4 teams. And I don't know if I were to rank them right now, I'd probably put them 4th of those 4. But I think the difference between 1 and 4 is pretty small.
It's not far. I agree.
And I think the difference is, I think in the AFC right now, I only see two teams that can come out of the AFC. Maybe three. I probably have to start throwing the Chiefs in there. Chiefs might catch the damn Broncos.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting because
God, Broncos should have won that game yesterday.
They should have. Boy,
second half Broncos is second half Kubiak. It's sad. And you know what? It shouldn't all be on Kubiak. I mean, Osweiler plays scared in the second half. And those wide receivers and tight ends, Demaryius Thomas and Vernon Davis, it just can't hold on to the ball. I mean, there's balls being thrown that would extend drives. And you can't drop balls like that in the NFL. I mean, that's your one job, is to catch the football. You're terrible at it now.
And, you know, Osweiler didn't look that bad. I'll tell you what, though. I can't tell you I can't remember the last time I saw Ben Roethlisberger throw a pass like that in that situation that there was no need to – I mean, for one thing, he should be running the ball there.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's Mike Tomlin late-game clock management at its finest.
But
when
do you see Roethlisberger just stare down a guy and throw it right into coverage in that situation, in the fourth quarter of a game where all you got to do is run out the clock? But they managed to win it anyway. And, yeah, we're seeing this every week. Tomlin does something. As much as I was bitching about O'Brien – kicking the 57-yard field goal. Every week, Mike Tomlin does something like that. Doesn't always hurt him, but sometimes it does. I don't know what kind of play calling that was, but
it will.
It will, because you can't just do stuff like that.
We got a lot of NFL to talk about. There was a lot of interesting games yesterday, including the Giants-Panthers game, which there's a lot of fallout from that as well we'll have to get into. Right now, I got to tell you about the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. If you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about these guys. They're part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got three easily accessible locations in Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front. And they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal specialties, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com. You'll learn more about the doctors there. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715, for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Wake me again.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And, hey, your first place Houston Texans, rock and roll. Congratulations.
Rock and roll!
Drunk Bevo.
I don't rock and roll when the Texans win. I only rock and roll when the Colts lose.
Okay.
Which is why I've rock and rolled so much lately.
Yeah, well, that's... and they shouldn't be as bad as they are, but that team's just not very well coached. They make mistakes. And, you know, without Andrew Luck, they have no chance of moving. Or without a healthy Hasselbeck. Because I will say, when he was healthy, he was doing a really good job of running that offense. But he's been beat up, and he's obviously not the same player. And you can't win with a beat-up
quarterback. He's a broken man. It's not going to change anytime soon.
No, no. And
broken ribs don't heal up in a week.
Yeah, and the truth is, they just don't have it's hard to get the ball to T.Y. Hilton when, you know, you're – throwing the ball at half speed, and they can't run the ball. Their offensive line's been bad forever. You know, Frank Gore it's another old man. Awful. You know, he's just an old man. He's just a name now. But, I think that was the thing that was kind of surprising to me was it was obvious the Colts could do nothing on offense, and, you know, you're kicking a damn field goal. Were you scared of the punt return from down there? Because I don't think there's going to be a punt return from that part of the field.
No.
And I know they weren't covering the punts very well. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. 3776. But yeah, just the Chiefs are now just a game behind the Broncos. And I look at that team, and boy, they're so good on defense. But I'm starting to see some of the things that we saw late in the season when Kubiak was here, when he had a good team.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, they're not making the same adjustments. But, you know, the Steelers can score on anybody. But that was an interesting game. There's a lot of good stuff. Okay, guess what, though? There is good news for you.
For me?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's official now.
Okay.
The Cowboys are eliminated. You don't have to speculate anymore.
My goodness.
Yeah. Boy, there was some good football played yesterday, and there was some really bad football.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of the really bad football involved the Texas teams. 713-780 ESPN, 713-780-3776. Should we discuss Odell Beckham Jr.'s
his behavior?
Yes. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
I think that's it. It's deserved. I mean,
you got a one game suspension in case you missed it.
It's a chicken bleep move that he did. But he was also being taunted and goaded all night as well, or all day as well. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to keep your cool. And Odell Beckham lost his cool. What it boils down to.
Did you see the reason he was off his game, basically? According to Jay Glazer,
he got threatened.
He felt threatened.
Yeah.
Because of a baseball bat. And that he was threatened that they were going to end his day. But apparently, you know, there's somebody from the Panthers comes out with a baseball bat before the game. And somehow Beckham thought that he was threatened by the baseball bat. Right. So.
Well. And it just stuck with him until about halftime, and then
yeah, Ball and Beckham, the guy who got into a scuffle before the kickoff and had to be separated. He was carrying the bat in the background as the Giants were taking the field.
Okay,
so if you let that take you out of your game, then guess what? You're going to get a lot more of that. But
too worked off.
Purple and gold is a good point. Said OBJ deserves a suspension. He crossed the line, but Norman was a problem too.
I agree.
Yeah.
And at the end, when the Giants tied it up on that Beckham touchdown, and Odell was walking away from him, Josh Norman like grabbed it. He grabbed his ankle and tried to trip him. I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense going on. But it's the guy who retaliates and the guy who comes in and crosses the line, which Odell Beckham did. That's the guy who's going to get in trouble.
Okay, under the updated playoff scenarios released Monday by the NFL, the Texans can clinch the division title with a victory over the Titans, plus clinching the strength of victory tiebreaker over the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
So they can also clinch with a win over the Titans and a Colts loss or tie, or they can tie the Titans and a Colts loss.
So what they need to happen as far as that strength of victory.
Yeah.
They need the Bengals to beat the Broncos is what would do that.
Yeah.
So if the Texans win and the Bengals beat the Broncos, which it's at Denver, both are on their backup quarterbacks. I think it's going to actually be a really good game. But that would clinch it. Otherwise, they need the Colts to lose a game, which again is not even nearly out of the question.
No, and I honestly think they will lose. Unless Andrew Luck can come back and be Andrew Luck, they're losing this week.
Yeah.
They're just they can't score. And the Dolphins have quit, but the Dolphins also have enough guys that they're going to score points on you. And yeah, I think that's going to be a tough one for the Colts. And I don't feel too sorry for you guys, no offense, but you know, you've lucked into two quarterbacks over the last 20 years. I don't feel too sorry about you. Sorry for you.
Yeah.
Somebody says one game suspension is too light for Beckham's behavior. Brady got four games.
What games did Brady
miss? Yeah, he didn't miss any of them that I know of, did he?
I don't remember Brady being suspended for four games.
I think it's inconsistent.
I remember them thinking maybe they were going to suspend him, but he didn't get suspended, so.
Yeah.
I think a game is fair. I mean, it's a cheap shot. It's,
yeah. They've been pretty consistent with plays like that. So, but yeah, I think Norman was just as much to blame. They were both being a-holes yesterday. Joshua asking, any word when JJ could possibly get the cast taken off? I have not heard anything on that.
I heard that the hand is still broken, but it's healing. So my guess is that he plays until it's complete, or he keeps it on until it's completely healed. So
yeah,
it's probably on for the foreseeable future.
We'll have to ask the Richmond guys that this week.
Okay.
That's a good question for them. How long before he gets that thing? Because he looks, I mean, it just looks like, obviously it's affecting how he's playing.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and, you try tackling somebody with one hand. It's hard enough to tackle guys in the NFL with two hands. You try doing it with one hand, it really ain't easy.
Yeah, and it just looks awkward.
Guys, I've been telling you about this new company that is supporting the show, and I'm supporting their business because it's an awesome business. But it's Deep South Barrels is the name of the place, and if you haven't gotten into these things, I don't know what you're waiting on. It's an amazing thing if you're a drinking man, as some of us on this show happen to be, or if you've got a drinking man in your life, it's something that you can get for them as a gift. It's something I've gotten a few of them as gifts for this Christmas myself. So what it is it allows you to create better than well alcohol out of well alcohol just by putting it into a small oak barrel and letting the wood take the impurities out of it. It's really an amazing process. You can read more about it on their website, deepsouthbarrels.com, but you can turn house liquor into top shelf in just a month. I've got some brewing right now. Get started this holiday season by going to deepsouthbarrels.com. Use the promo code Hoffman to get 10% off your entire order. That's Deep South Barrels, promo code Hoffman. You'll get 10% off your entire order, whether it's for you or for a loved one or, whoever it's for. Yeah, this is a perfect gift for anybody. If they don't drink, they'll drink once they get this because they've been drinking that house liquor they want to turn into the top shelf. This is the way to do it, guys. Deep South Barrels, bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Make this holiday season a Blitz. Get the new Blitz t-shirt for all your family, friends, neighbors, enemies, and postman. You can get them at UT Co-op in Uptown Park or log on to utcoop.com and order them online. At under $10 a piece, the Blitz t-shirt is the perfect gift. Friends, neighbors, enemies, and postman. Postman, Michelle? Okay. Couple of things here. Cam Newton is playing at a ridiculous level right now. In the past month, he's played 5 games. Of course, they won them all. He had the only 3 5 touchdown pass games of his career, 18-1 touchdown to pick ratio, and also the first person to throw 5 touchdown passes and rush for 100 yards in a game.
Yeah, crazy game yesterday. I mean, listen, the Giants are the Giants, and we saw what Drew Brees did to the Giants on the same day that Eli Manning did to the Saints. The Giants are not very good defensively, but. Man, Cam Newton had really an amazing day. And he currently, I'm going to say, and this is all subject to change, of course, I think he might be at the top of my MVP candidates list right now.
Yesterday was one of those kind of defining moments. I mean, if he falls apart the last, although I don't anticipate him even needing to play the last 2 weeks, really, but the fact that he had that kind of game, even though it is the Giants, but he's done it the entire month. Yeah, that's the thing. He's been at his best during this last month. And did you have any doubt he was going to drive them down for a field goal when they got the ball back at the end?
No, of course, because it's the Giants.
Well, it's the Giants. And then it was funny. I was watching the game with some friends. I said, I bet he takes off and gets 10 more yards to get him a little bit closer here and keeps the ball in his own hands, and he did that, got 10 yards, got him closer. Gano makes the field goal, and it was a little surprising how quickly they damn near blew that lead. Well, they did blow the lead, but how fast the Giants got back in it against a pretty good defense. But they got it done when they needed to, which they've done all year. And the Giants all year, if it's come down to the last minute, they found a way to lose.
It's what they do.
It's kind of been that last minute of the game was a microcosm of both of those team seasons. The Giants are going to find a way to lose it. The Panthers are going to find a way to win it. And I think he all but locked up the MVP yesterday.
I still think that you've had a couple guys in Tom Brady and Carson Palmer who I'm not willing to throw out just yet. But, man, it's hard to make an argument against Newton at this point. I mean, if you look at just pure passing stats, he's not those guys, but he's not a pure passer either.
No, but those guys aren't throwing five touchdown passes in three games here over the last month either.
No, they're not. Well, okay, let's also talk about what these touchdown passes are. Some of them are from the 2 yard line, and they're stat patters, but they're stat patter. They're stat padding is what they're doing.
Oh, come on, man. Brady is the master of stat padding.
Of course he is. But I'm just saying, let's not act like five touchdowns like he was.
But let's also not pretend like.
He was also throwing his fifth touchdown from the 2 yard line when they were up 28-7.
Yeah, and you know what? They needed to, because guess what? They blew that lead.
They did. But I'm just saying, that's a time when more often than not, you're running that ball in, right?
Brady's not. Brady's throwing the ball there every time. Come on, man. Because Belichick has Brady on his fantasy team every year.
Maybe so.
He's always got him throwing the ball from the one.
But I do think that it's still.
But, I mean, if we're going to throw stats out there, then you have to consider those. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Well, and you could consider those stats, and he's still got less passing touchdowns than the other guys. So
yeah, he's also got a lot more rushing yards.
He does, and that's kind of the game changer.
And the fourth quarter, the way he's played in the fourth quarter is as good as anybody has been all year for any team throughout the season.
I don't disagree one bit.
And that's what I want.
I think that, you know, and I went back and forth a little bit about, like, there was someone who questioned why it took me this long to get on board with Cam, and... listen,
you can't decide in week 10 who the MVP is.
I mean, if you've watched what Tom Brady's done this year and you see what Tom Brady has around him right now, it's pretty amazing. If you look at Arizona and you look at what they were last year with him and what they turned into without him and what they are again, like, look at Larry Fitzgerald. Remember what Larry Fitzgerald's stats looked like last year? Everybody thought Larry Fitzgerald was gone.
Yeah, although...
Like, he was a ghost.
The one argument I would make, and again, I agree with you on Carson Palmer. I don't think he's getting enough in the discussion enough. They were still a playoff team without him last year. And they were terrible on offense.
Well, yeah, right.
But okay. And they're a better team with him there, but they still made the playoffs with Ryan Lindley playing quarterback and everybody else that they trotted out there.
That's true. But they weren't winning games with those guys. Their lead was already...
It was pretty big. They won a couple, but, you know, the thing is... I think the one person, though, that has the most weapons around him is Carson Palmer.
I agree with that.
And he's got one of the best receiving groups in the league and a really good offensive line. Brady and Newton don't really have much around them.
If we're going to talk about good offensive lines, Cam Newton's not hurting.
No. But
the Panthers have a really good offensive line.
I mean, honestly, if you were going to rank the receivers in the NFL, the receiving groups, you can't have the Panthers in the top 27.
You don't. They're horrible at receiver.
They do have a good tight end.
They've got Greg Olsen, who is arguably the second best tight end in the game behind Gronk. But they really don't have much. And now without Jonathan Stewart, they've got a mishmash of running backs as well. I mean, he is a significant chunk of their offense. What he has, in my opinion, that's an advantage over Arizona and New England, and listen, Arizona and New England aren't shabby in this spot, but Carolina has the best defense in football, you could argue. And he's got two of the three or four best defensive players in football. And so when you talk about the guy being undefeated, let's not act like Cam Newton's done that by himself. I mean, that defense has done a lot of work this year, a lot of work. So I'm not saying now that Cam Newton's definitively the MVP. I would move him to the top of my rankings right now, but I think there's still an open discussion to be had when it comes to those other two guys. I don't think that it's a slam dunk yet.
I think they're in the mix, but I think it would be an upset at this point if he didn't win it.
Okay.
And it could happen. He could go out and throw six interceptions next week. But, and if he does that, then yeah, you know, that might change the discussion.
What if he fumbles yesterday? Or what if that fumble ends up costing him the game? The fumble that where he gives the ball away, would that change your mind?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe not. If they lose a game, obviously, it's going to affect, I mean, that affects what the MVP is, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but it didn't happen. So it's one of those things. I can't sit here and speculate on what didn't happen.
But I also, I warn about this every year. I always warn against giving the MVP automatically to the quarterback of the best team or the best player on the best team. I don't think it's as simple as that. But
that's pretty much what the award is. I mean, it really is. It's which teams, unless your quarterback does something totally transcendent and you don't have the best record, it's like the Heisman, man. It almost always goes to, it's a popularity contest. And, you know, I think when it was a better discussion last year because J.J. Watt was involved. But in the end, it was going to go to the quarterback. And J.J. Watt's team did make the playoffs.
Couple good comments on Twitter. Trey says the NFL will never give Brady the MVP unless he dominates the MVP discussion. If it's close, no way. Well, remember, the NFL doesn't necessarily decide who the MVP is.
But there is that element out there
of people who think he's a cheater.
Yes,
right,
and they're going to vote against him.
Joe says, think Cam deserves it, but Russell has been playing his ass off lately. He has. As well.
He's been amazing over the last
3 weeks. It's impossible to find anyone who's been better the last 3 weeks. Maybe 4 weeks.
And that's why, again, that's why people were trying to talk about MVP in week 8. You wouldn't have mentioned Russell Wilson then.
No.
But I guarantee you he's in the top 5
now. But
now
they're a playoff team. Yeah. They've clinched a playoff spot. There's no Marshawn Lynch there. And you want to talk about what weapons Cam Newton has or doesn't have. Boy, take a look at the rest of the offensive weapons in Seattle right now, and it's Doug Baldwin. I mean, it's a sad state up there, although that Tyler Lockett kid is going to be
I liked him a lot. When they drafted him, I thought, boy, that's a good pickup. But, yeah, without Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson has had to take over, and he's done it.
Yep.
And
which I consistently said he would not be able to.
Yep, you've been very consistent about that.
Here I am with egg on my face as this guy just continues to surprise. So, I still think it's a tough call. I don't think it's decided. I do think Cam Newton has worked his way into the lead, though.
Yeah, I think it's his to lose at this point. And
I wouldn't argue that.
And I mean, I don't know that. I think a month ago, before he went on this particular tear, I would have voted for Brady. And, you know, but the way he's playing right now and the numbers he's putting up, and I mean, my goodness, running for 100 yards and throwing 5 touchdown passes, that's never been done. So that's the kind of stuff that, now, last year when I was pushing Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell, and Roethlisberger had those 2 weeks where he threw for over 500 yards, which that doesn't get done where guys do it 2 out of 3 weeks. And to me, that's kind of part of it. You know, when you're doing something that's, and I don't think people appreciate Brady. You don't really look at it and realize just how good a season he's having.
No.
Because all he, I mean, and without Edelman, he had Gronk gone for 2 games and they lose. He still kept him in those games and they had a chance to win them both. He's playing it about as well as I've seen him play in his entire career. And, you know, I don't know, man. But
the only problem I have with Cam Newton and what he's done is his completion percentage continues to be atrocious. And that's the one stat that always jumps out to me on him. That's just,
he's not a traditional quarterback. He's not an accurate passer. He never will be.
But I mean,
but he makes
below,
big plays
below 60%. Though I mean, once you get below 60%, it's like, what are you doing? And luck, you're right. Luckily, the guy can run the ball a little bit, but
a little bit.
I mean, the guy's passing completion percentage is lower than Colin Kaepernick's. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, but he also takes a lot more deep shots and he hits a lot of those. He does make big plays in the passing game. He's not ever going to be West Coast 65% short pass guy.
Right.
That's just not what he is. And I think,
well, would you call Brady West Coast short pass guy?
He throws a lot of underneath passes, yeah.
Okay. Well, he's at 64.3. Carson Palmer is the opposite of short pass guy. He leads the league in basically every deep ball category. He's a 64% passer. Russell Wilson's close to 70% completions this year, which doesn't even seem fair to me. I don't know how that happens. But those guys are all having fantastic years. I just hate to, with 2 weeks left, say, oh, Cam Newton's the MVP, period, end of discussion. Because I don't think it's that much of a runaway.
I think right now it's a pretty significant gap, and it's no disrespect to those guys, but it is a testament to what that team has done and what he's done leading that team. And I think he's going to have to screw up the last two
if
weeks.
If they're 13-1, is Brady? Is there any gap between him and Brady?
I think that if Brady had been, if the Patriots are undefeated, I'd probably be. My vote would probably go to Brady.
Okay.
But, you know, that has something to do with it. I mean, the team's unbeaten. They got the best record in the league. Although I would say yesterday he took a big step toward – he might have passed him in my mind with what he did yesterday, Newton.
Newton, yeah.
And,
well,
and
he
really
did pass him in my mind yesterday.
And really what he's done over the last week. All right, we got to talk about Houston Cann Academy. And there's a kid who wants to drop out of school and doesn't know what to do. Houston Cann Academy helps him. And when you hear right off the car, not the kid – what it really means is a lot of these kids had to drop out of school, and they get a second chance at Houston Cann Academy. There's a lot of reasons that they had to do it. Some of them had to get jobs. You know, there's some that had children. There's all kinds of reasons these kids drop out. Well, Houston Cann Academy gives them a second chance, gives them another opportunity to get to school, to get through school, and to do something really good with their lives. It's a great, great place, and I had a chance to go out there and meet some of these kids, and you know, they've got a daycare out there. They do such a great job of working around whatever it is that made these kids drop out and help them get through school. And they also provide them with stuff like transportation, glasses if they need those, things like that. All of that is why they need your donation and a donation of the vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. If it's just sitting out there in your yard or sitting in your garage and you meant to fix it and you never did, donate it. Because they'll come tow it absolutely free of charge. Doesn't matter where you are. If you can hear my voice, they'll show up over there. If you're in Lake Charles, if you're in Beaumont, any one of those places, they will come and tow your vehicle free of charge, and your donation is tax deductible. They'll even fill out the paperwork for you. And if you donate today, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. It's just their way of saying thank you. All you have to do, you want to help these kids? All you have to do is make a phone call, tell them to come pick up that vehicle. And it's easy and fast. I've had a lot of friends do it, and they all say the same thing, that it is just the most simple process in the world. 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.